Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we're both writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show. Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going to be breaking down Superman Man of Tomorrow, another animated film in our Superman watch-through. We just got done watching it. Porter, break it down for me.
All right, so this was the kind of beginning of DC's animated Tomorrowverse, which was very short-lived, and it's a very good first outing, I think. It hits the basics, it sets up all that, you know, kind of sets up this universe. Yeah, I guess do you want to just get right into the story of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So it starts off with Clark and a childhood friend watching an old movie where it's like a scary alien and Clark has like a mental breakdown because he is in fact an alien and he feels really bad about it. And that's kind of the point of the movie, is a whole lot of similar to Man of Steel, where it's like the world isn't ready for an alien.
Yeah, that is kind of the overarching theme within like the villains and even some of the allies that he makes throughout the movie, is like the idea of, you know, beings from a world beyond really freak people out. And even the idea that Superman is one of them is terrifying.
Yeah. Another part of the childhood is we're introduced to this pyramid Sith wayfinder looking thing that Superman has, and he's trying to open it. He's unsuccessful. Later, we find out what it is, but it's a cool planting, and it's a cool way to later on give him the info about Krypton that he needs without giving him a Fortress of Solitude.
Totally. And one thing I loved about this movie, just in general, is they seem to approach the Superman story from kind of an untapped perspective. Kind of the perspective of his childhood being sort of in the middle and him struggling with being an alien. Not really focusing on him, you know, as a baby or in high school, right? Those are kind of the typical go-to points. And also as an adult, where he's an intern at the Daily Planet and he's just getting started out as Superman. You made a great comparison that his whole like costume and getup originally is kind of like the whole Spider-Man bit, where he's trying to get started and doesn't have an actual suit because he doesn't know what he's doing, right?
Yeah, it's super fun. I actually really like the way he gets the suit, or at least the evolution of it, where it's kind of just what he throws together, but then they find out that it doesn't work when you're re-entering from space. And so his mom makes him a new one from the clothes he was swaddled in. And I think it's like a good, solid like introduction of like, oh, this is how he gets his suit. Sure, right?
It's fun. And yeah. I liked the little planting that they did twice, where they kind of like hinted that his whole getup is based on the Caped Crusader, just off of Batman's whole thing. They also did a really good job visualizing how he gets his power and how much he loves the sun. This is something that's maybe fresher for at least the live action movies, right? They didn't really address that in most of those, and maybe don't even touch on it in all the animated movies, but a great moment, right? As he's establishing himself as Superman, he gets that one moment where he's finally up in space and you see him like glowing and loving like the radiation from the sun. It looked really cool.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm glad it plays a bigger role in this movie than any of the other ones, really. It's really ingrained in the plot and it shows up later. It's not just a one and done thing. They do a lot of good setup in this movie. When he gets his superpowers from the sun, or at least they show that, it's saving a rocket that goes haywire. And you've got the janitor, Jones, Rudy Jones, who is, they set up so well. Like, he's used to being in the armed forces and he works at a laboratory as a janitor, but he's clearly a good guy. Like, we can get into that later, but they were very efficient with their act one.
Totally. They did a great setup for that, and they endeared you to the important characters quite quickly. You made a great point there. And just a few more notes on kind of the design of this movie. The animation itself, the lines are kind of thicker. It gave me like the kind of the early Ben 10 cartoon, or the cartoon Archer, if you've seen that.
Yeah, you're so right.
Just kind of a, I like the feel of it. It's a bit more bold, and I like that. And it's a small note, but I'm not sure where else to throw it in. I like how they visualized his X-ray vision. They've done it a few different ways in the animated and even the live action. And I love that they kind of just had his eyes change from the blue to kind of sort of like a turquoise teal sort of color.
Right.
And then they had kind of that almost like blueprint look as he like looks down at whatever he's like seeing through.
Yeah, it's a cool, the way they show off his powers is a great introduction to anyone. Like how Superman's powers and kind of the basics of Superman. I feel like it gets that point across really well.
Agreed.
So not too far into the movie, we get the introduction to Lobo, a intergalactic bounty hunter. And his character is kind of the wild card, the comic relief of the movie. And he's there to hunt down Superman, the last of the Kryptonians. And it's cool that that's how Superman finds out his heritage. And he's like, wait, what? Okay, so I'm a Kryptonian. That's where I'm from. And it's a unique way for him to discover that. And you have the Lobo fight, which is really well done. It's, you know, superpowered beings against each other. Lobo has a lot of creative weapons. And they bring the fight to Star Labs, where Rudy Jones is working. And Lobo uses this grenade thing that absorbs, it's like a matter that just absorbs everything that it touches, and it kind of fuses with Rudy Jones, which eventually turns him into Parasite, but that's kind of left to the side for now. And we get the introduction of John Jones, the Martian Manhunter, and I love how they introduce him in this film, because it's kind of a slow burn. Like, at first he's just a guy in a trench coat watching Superman, which is kind of dorky, but
sure, total Men in Black sort of feel.
Absolutely. And then he reveals himself, and he is like in his true Martian form, which is very freaky. And he fights Lobo with Superman. So they kind of have this soft team up, and it's a good like early battle to just kind of keep things exciting, keep things moving. But it still does work, right? It lets John Jones introduce himself, and it also sets up Parasite.
Totally. That whole sequence felt really tight and natural. And it was kind of nice that we got that team up right away, and they don't even reveal him as Martian Manhunter in that moment. We don't see his form. So for anybody unfamiliar, we kind of just get an alien out of nowhere starting to help Superman.
Right.
Which is kind of fun, and it's a great reveal later on for when, you know, the secret agent shows up at his house. And anyways, this is kind of the start of the alien hype, the alien fear. This is a big story at the Daily Planet, and Lois is starting to chase down leads. Like, it's kind of really leaning into the overarching theme of this movie.
You're so right. It really, you know, even if you're blind, it's literally like, all we care about is these aliens, because that's what people are afraid of. It's interesting because the villain of the movie is not an alien, technically. It's Rudy Jones, who kind of turns into Parasite. And the first time we kind of see him use his Parasite powers is he's breaking out of the hospital, which him like absorbing people's life energy is freaky.
They like, did such yeah. a good job.
They make him all wrinkly and shriveled, and he just kind of drops him, and he's just like, whatever. And it's creepy.
It really is. And it kind of lends itself to how powerful he really is just from the get-go. And he just keeps gaining power. I love the design on Parasite here. We were talking, and I'm not crazy familiar with Parasite just as a villain. We obviously saw him in Superman All-Star. I think this one looked so freaking cool.
It looks cool. My wife pointed out that he looks a lot like a Xenomorph from the Alien series, which is a sweet design. So
totally.
They made the right move. But kind of bringing back to, you mentioned when John Jones shows up to Kansas as a secret agent, but then he reveals like his quote unquote normal self, like how we normally know him as. And him and Superman have a chat in Kansas, and it's kind of the chat where they're like, this is the theme of the movie, and it's all about humanity not being ready for alien life. They're not ready to accept what they don't understand. They're too fearful. They have a really interesting convo, and John Jones is then able to open up the pyramid thing for him, which Superman's hyped about. So he's able to learn a bit, and yeah, it's a good thematic conversation.
Totally. And I think it works as a really great midpoint because it kind of just establishes Superman as the Superman that we know. At that point, he just gets his backstory, essentially. He kind of starts to scratch the surface of the secrets of his past. And that's when he gets his suit.
Yeah, and he runs off with it. So we get kind of the first fight with Parasite. And at this point in time, he's about human. Like, he's normal human size, about, if not a little bit bigger. But he fights Superman and he fights John Jones. And they kind of learn that he's absorbing powers, and Superman has to get recharged by the sun in order to really keep up his energy levels and fight back. And we get to see kind of, okay, I'm jumping ahead here. We get to see like a weird fake out death of John Jones. Like, he gets burned alive.
I kind of lost it in that moment because I was like, they can't just kill him.
Yeah, like, super bold choice.
It was like kind of scary the way they like killed him off, I say in air quotes, as well, because like, it was the alien using Superman's powers, the laser vision, and you know, he bursts into flames, that's his weakness, and like, his screams, right? You see like the skeleton in the fire.
Yeah,
they leaned into it and they got me. I was like, well, he's toast, there's no way he's getting out of this one.
I know, and I had seen this before and I remembered him getting burned alive, but I did not remember him pulling up later in the movie and Superman being like, oh, how did you come back? And he's like, I only showed it what it wanted to see. And I was like, what? Like, it doesn't really.
Which, like, you know, he has like the holographic sort of ability. And he used that trick earlier in that fight, right? Where he was a hologram of Superman that the alien jumped into.
Right.
So we see that that's a possibility. But the way it was set up, it didn't seem that likely. Anyways, I'll accept it. He needs to be around. But
right.
Yeah, so that's kind of where we see how powerful and terrifying Parasite can really be, because we've seen him kind of taking out humans at this point, but when he goes up against two of arguably the strongest Justice League members and kind of just cooks them, it's scary. And at this point, Superman is pretty much drained of his powers.
Yeah, it's a great low point to lead him into the third act. I really like how unstoppable this villain feels. And we can get into that more in like the final act, but yeah, like, it's a cool villain because it feels insurmountable because they've hit such a low point.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I completely agree.
But because of this low point, Superman gets the bright idea to team up with Lex, and then they team up with Lobo. And I think the way their like strategy for defeating him, it makes sense, right? Like, if you absorb someone, you get all their powers, but you also get their weaknesses. So we'll just exploit his weaknesses. And I think that that's a solid logistical way to defeat Parasite. Like, that makes sense to me.
Totally. It was a great plan going into it. And honestly, I think their idea for just a double villain team up for Superman works well in this story, because it's been well established that he's not established. Lex, like, meets him for the first time when he's asking him for help. Lobo, like, vaguely knows him, but was in prison and clearly doesn't have too much against him. He was just out for a bounty, right, and is willing to work for Lex, who's, you know, obviously can buy him off with whatever. But I think it just works well because he doesn't have so much history with these villains that it would be, like, an actual struggle to try and team up with them.
You're totally right. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, because it's so fresh, you don't get, like, the typical, like, oh, the hero has to team up with the villains. And this, it's kind of just the hero
is just trying to find people that he knows can help.
Exactly. It's just like, let's think logically about this. Who is going to be the best man for the job, right?
Totally.
But that kind of brings me into the next thought. And the reason I thought that this would be a good one to watch before the new movie is they introduce a lot of characters and a lot of Superman staples, and this movie's only like an hour and a half long, and I feel like it's able to introduce Lex, Lois, Lobo, Martian Manhunter, and Parasite on top of that. And even technically in the background, Batman as a character. And I feel like it balances it all quite well.
And they still give a relatively well-rounded backstory for Superman himself.
Right. Like, he doesn't get pushed to the side. And I feel like with the new one, I hope they're able to pull it off in a similar way where, yes, they're introducing so many characters, but I hope that it just makes sense and that Superman is still the focal point.
Totally. Well, and you make a great point. I wasn't really thinking about that too hard during this, but they did a lot with this movie, with characters and introductions and storylines, and it flowed. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. But this team-up kind of results in their master plan, which is to draw out the parasite by kind of concentrating the city's energy at the nuclear plant.
Right. And the city's power being the sourced from a nuclear plant, like, right by the city, seems improbable. But I guess, like, the city itself looks futuristic. Like, it looks like something out of a sci-fi novel. So I guess it's not too far-fetched to be like, yeah, they would have nuclear energy figured out by now.
Right, you know,
they can keep it next to the city, yeah.
It's not your Simpsons nuclear plant.
Exactly, yeah, totally.
And it's not a bad plan, right? Kind of moth to a flame sort of energy. And Superman is weakened at this point. Lobo's with him, just armed to the teeth with a bomb vest.
Right.
And they have a kryptonite ring. That's kind of their plan, is to use Superman's weakness against the monster. And the monster comes out, and we haven't seen it for a little bit. And it is Godzilla at this point.
Oh, yeah. It's a kaiju.
Like, it's beautiful. It is Alien plus Godzilla, and I'm such a fan.
It's a sweet design for a villain. And it's funny you mentioned Lobo. We get another fake-out death. Like, he dies, but then he just gets back together. You're like, what? But
well, and the best line that they use, once again jumping ahead, but he was just like, man, I wish you would have told me about that immortality thing, and then they just move on.
Literally. But it's fine, right? Like, it's
no qualms. I find it funny.
But yeah, the nuclear power plant fight's pretty sweet with Superman, because it's like, imagine Superman fighting a creature the size of Godzilla. It's spectacular, and it's a really fun one because he has to be quick about it, because he can't touch Parasite for long. Otherwise, his powers will get drained, right?
Right. And they try out their plan almost immediately, right? They have Lobo wearing the kryptonite ring, which we were talking about. Such a cool design on that. Like, I haven't seen kryptonite used in that way before, but that's brilliant, right? Something used on the fist you can deck Superman with.
Totally. It's a really good weapon.
Yeah. So he hops on his bike and he's just beating the crap out of this alien, and it is doing nothing.
Yeah, then they're kind of like, oof, maybe the powers wear off, you know, and that kind of leaves him SOL. But then the parasite starts walking towards the bridge where there's a lot of people, and Superman kind of just like pulls up and is like, tries to talk some sense into him, but then he talks to the people. And I think it's a good speech. Like, it's the climax of the movie where he decides to formally introduce himself as Superman, and that he is a Kryptonian, and that he is here to help people. And he helps them realize that Parasite was a human, and that we're like all in this together, kumbaya stuff. And I think it's a good climax. And I like that it's a speech rather than like a extra hard punch to the bad guy, you know? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
It felt strange in the moment because the monster was like kind of on a rampage, and then he kind of paused to listen to his spiel. It fit the theme, so I wasn't opposed to it overall. And they had these really great visuals through the eyes of Parasite, kind of showing where he's like starting to see, you know, the mom and the daughter that's reminding him of his wife and his kid. You can kind of see like him flashing back to his memories. Like you can tell there's like that human part that's starting to kind of fight the monster that is there.
I think the whole origin of Parasite being in this movie and him having a pregnant wife and a child, I feel like that is the secret sauce to this movie. Like, that's the reason it works, is because you get to know more about the villain. And even this kind of villain, which is literally just an mindless monster that likes to absorb energy, but they're able to give it a heart. We see it go back to its house, so it obviously he's still in there somewhere, and I think the care that they put into the villain is the reason the movie works so well, because otherwise it would have just been a whatever villain.
Oh no, you make a great point about that. This is reminding me of the animated film The Death of Superman, where the villain in that is Doomsday, and it's a similar premise where like the villain is just completely unstoppable. Nobody can like destroy this thing. It just shows up from space one day. Nobody knows what it is, where it came from. And I feel like that could have been the explanation for Parasite. And I really appreciate that they made him a human, right? Especially with the whole theme being human versus alien.
That's a great point. And yeah, he is like the ultimate combination of the two, right? Yeah, you're so right. It could have gone a lot differently. So they chose the right direction.
I'm with you there. So after the speech, the parasite kind of takes a pause, right? Is kind of struggling, and then just the monster takes over, right? He starts, you know, coming after Superman, is walking towards the bridge, and then back at the power plant, it starts to kind of overload, and it's getting bright and scary. And what was that whole bit with Martian Manhunting Lex?
There's kind of that weird, like, mini plot that happens where John Jones stops Lex Luthor from stealing kryptonite. It lasts like 2 seconds. It's really inconsequential.
Yeah, but they are essentially able to call attention to the fact that they're back at the power plant. They're like, hey, something's going wrong here. And the monster turns around. He sees this crazy huge source of energy. And Superman, trying to stop the monster, is now really weak. He can barely fly.
Yeah, he like barely can get across the water to the power plant. But yeah, then Parasite just grabs onto the nuclear reactor and absorbs it all, and then he gets overloaded, I guess, and he turns to stone.
Which I was kind of worried at first, I'm going to be honest, that they were going to have the end of Parasite be that heart-to-heart that Superman was trying to have, that he was going to be like, oh man, you're right, and then like right. Just stop being the monster. Yeah, which wouldn't have, I just feel like it wouldn't have really fit. I appreciate that they kind of just had the monster just, you know, too gluttonous. It kind of took itself out.
It kind of makes it more of a tragedy, right? Because you see just enough of that humanity to be like, oh, he's still in there. But then he dies, right? He doesn't get a happy ending, and his wife and kid don't get a happy ending.
Yeah, like it is kind of a tragedy. And it just, once again, argues the point, right? Was there humanity left in there? Is the alien part bad because that was the part that kind of took over? Are aliens bad in general? So kind of a neat climax and a really stunning visual on that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a well-crafted ending to the conflict. And in my opinion, this is as good as the Tomorrowverse gets, and it was the first entry. But yeah, then they just kind of wrap up loose threads, right? Like show John Jones and Lobo with Superman being like, yeah, we're aliens. And then Clark's back at the Daily Planet. I don't know, they wrap it up pretty quick.
They really do.
Yeah, so like overall, I really enjoy this movie. I think it's a really good Superman movie. It hits all the points. I feel like it introduces a lot of DC as a whole, and it's an easy recommend for me. It's short, which, you know, 90 minutes is a 5-star runtime.
Totally.
It's easy to knock out, but it packs a lot.
You make a good point. And once again, the design choices, the story is tight. It has a lot going on in it, but it has kind of a satisfying ending, like through and through. Easy recommend.
Before we wrap up, I know we're a little late to the game just because we record these a little bit earlier. There's been a lot of news articles and talk online about the Superman test screenings that happened. And have you heard about these?
A couple of them, yeah.
So people are kind of going crazy because apparently the test screening had mixed reviews, and so they're going back and they're editing a lot of it. They're cutting out like 20 minutes. They're changing the tone of the movie, and people are saying that it's like spelling doom for the Superman movie. But if you follow these things, that's just another step in the process, kind of like the whole Clayface rewrite. Like, it's just another step. And if you've worked on a project, which we both have, you're in it, and you need those test screenings to get an outside perspective on what works and what doesn't work. Because when you're that deep into something for that long, you can't look at it objectively anymore. You need another, you know, party to be like, yeah, you might need to cut that down. You might need to change this up a bit. It's just another part of the process. And a big movie that had a lot of changes after its initial test screenings was Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is a cult classic. I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, it's not the end of the world. Doesn't
spell doom.
Yeah.
I agree. It's another step in the process. That's the reason they do the test screenings, is to change it for the better.
Exactly. And they're able to do it, you know, with over a month left, as opposed to doing it like the week prior, right? Like the critic screenings.
Totally. So they've got time on it. And once again, if it just tightens it up, makes things a bit better, then full send, why not? And if it really is so detrimental, I guess we can just get another extended edition.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, not terribly concerned about it. I recognize this is really just part of the process.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. But yeah, that's basically all I had to talk about. I just wanted to throw that out there. That's all.
Yeah, super stoked. We're about 3 weeks out from the release of that. And yeah, next week we're going to be breaking down Superman Red Son, which is kind of an alternate universe take on Superman had he landed in Russia instead of Kansas. I'm super stoked. Porter's seen this one. I have yet to.
Yeah, I've read the comic book and seen it before. It's a good one. I think, as I mentioned in a previous episode, it could give us a bit more like of a taste of what Lex Luthor being in a government positive position that we kind of insinuate from the trailers. So we'll get a bit of that. And it'll just be fun to talk about something very different to what we've been talking about as far as traditional Superman.
Totally. And I like that you kind of are saying it might lend some perspective just to the new movie. I think kind of that multicultural, what country Superman is for, is going to be a big thing in this movie upcoming. So it'd be kind of fun to see if the Reds, you know, what would happen if they had him.
Totally.
So yeah, we appreciate you guys joining us. We have a ton of fun talking about these movies, and we'll catch you next week.
See you.